EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There's 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There's 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs? They're out there. Taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. I want to start by giving my friend Jay DeMello a shout out. He'll be listening in San Francisco tonight. Jay is not only a long-time listener, but also a dear friend, and the very first person to connect and message me and wish me well with the show when it was only just an idea. And his constant encouragement has helped to turn the podcast into what it is today. Now, Jay has had a couple of rough years fighting an enemy that everyone listening would have had their lives touched in one form or another. Jay is strong and a fighter, and Jay, I just want you to know, buddy, we are here for you. Okay. Our guest tonight is Jean from Ohio. She had a very interesting UFO experience as a child in Wycliffe, Ohio in the 1960s. And our voice submission is by Melissa in Florida with a skunk ape encounter in the Burlow Creek State Park. And if you're wondering what's a skunk ape, well, it's what they call Bigfoot down in Florida. Now, before we listen to our witnesses, over to our 5-star ratings and reviewers on Apple Podcasts, I would like to thank Mushroom Eyepatch, Riding Country, Soul Cut, and Christian Filiciano Bayon, all from the US, and Plum LBW from the UK, all for leaving great reviews this week. Message me your addresses, guys, and I will send out bumper stickers of the show. It is very much appreciated. Don't forget, you can head over to the podcast website at ufochroniclespodcast.com, where you can listen to the show, get more information on the episodes, check out the merchandise, and, well, other cool stuff. Okay, on to Patreon. A massive thank you to Scott, Martha, and Arlene for becoming patrons of the show on Patreon. It makes me very happy that the show is valued enough to get financial support of you guys. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show.
Hi, this is Melissa from Central Florida, and I'm going to share another skunk ape story. This story actually came from my dad, and he told me this story in the mid-70s when I was really little. But he had he was a cop, and he had a lot of law enforcement friends in our community. And strange things would happen, and sometimes he would bring home the story. Some of them were really scary, and that's why I remember them so well. But this one happened up in Ormond around Bulow State Park. They call it the Loop. Beach Street goes out to Walter Boardman, and then it goes out to High Bridge, and it's like a giant loop that you can drive. And there are quite a lot of stories about that place. There are ghost lights that have been seen. There are skunk apes. Just a lot of things that have happened. There's some ruins up there of sugarcane plantations. So it's a very mysterious area. Old growth forest, very mysterious. So my dad had a friend that was a deputy. At the time, that part was all under county jurisdiction. So he was traveling up Beach Street one night, headed up into the loop, when he saw this car come the other way, doing like 100 mile an hour. And I mean, he turned it around real quick and lit it up and went after those people. He finally caught them, probably like 2, 3, 4 miles down the road, you know, and pulled him over. And he's like, you know, dude, what the f***? You know, you're going like 100 miles. And it was a man and a woman. And he said that their faces were completely white. They told him that they had gone up to Ormond Tombs, which is a park that holds the grave of Ormond's leading citizen, James Ormond. The city named after him. Anyway, and they said they'd been sitting there in the car and, you know, they were having an intimate moment. All of a sudden, they saw this creature in the woods. It was like a big monkey, and it was just like breaking off trees and shit and just making a lot of noise and everything, really, really aggressive. And they got really scared and they just peeled out of there and they came back down Beach Street. Well, the cop's like, yeah, well, you know, have you been drinking tonight? You know, that type of thing, smoking anything. And they're like, no, absolutely not. You know, gave the guy a field sobriety test, the whole thing checked out. Gave the guy a ticket for speeding, you know, because he's like, you know, he didn't really believe what happened, but his curiosity was piqued. The two people, you know, press hard 3 copies for the ticket, head on down the road, and he heads back up Beach Street because he was heading that way anyway, so he decides he's going to check this area out. So he gets up there, takes him like 10 minutes to get up there because the loop is really long, pulls into the park, just sits there, turns off his headlights. He's just sitting there with the running lights on. About 10 minutes later, or thereabouts, he just starts hearing this noise in the woods. This crazy noise, like trees cracking and stuff like that. And he looks out his windshield, and this is what he told my dad. He said this thing came out of the woods. It was like a giant monkey on 2 legs. And it, when it came out of the woods, it just was pushing over trees, these, you know, medium to small sized trees. It would just push over each tree as it went, pushing them over. And it just was being really aggressive doing that, like it was coming at him, you know, where he was parked. And it was making all this noise. He got the hell out of there. He didn't hang around, you know, to see what happened. I mean, I can't imagine why you would. That's really scary. And the thing about it is that he swore up and down that that happened. You know, usually, I don't know, usually cops don't share those kind of stories because it's kind of like with first responders, they're kind of afraid of peer ridicule kind of stuff. But he told my dad that story, and I absolutely believe it. And, you know, if you go on the BFRO website, there are a lot of accounts of sightings in that area of the county. There were fishermen that were kind of menaced by a skunk ape one time. They found those structures, you know, with all the branches and trees that are built on top of each other. There's been people out there that have heard vocalizations. So it is something that's been around a very, very long time. So thank you very much. And that's my story.
Hello, Jean.
Thank you.
Now, you're calling from Ohio today.
I am. I live in Northeast Ohio, just outside of Cleveland.
Excellent. I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing these fascinating encounters you've had. Now, you've had a couple of encounters. The first one happened when you were about 10, 11 years old. And to be honest, Jean, after reading your email, I found them fascinating, but also somewhat unnerving. Would you like to start there for listeners and just say what you were doing and what you experienced, please, Jean?
Okay. It was, I think, early fall. I remember I wanted to go to a friend's house to do some homework. And I was only about 10 or 11 years old, but it would get dark early. And it's back in the 60s. You know, if you were a young kid walking in the dark to go home, as long as my parents knew where I was and when I would be home, they were fine with it. And so it was a cool night. And I remember we have a school in the neighborhood that would take up about two blocks of the neighborhood. And behind it was a large field. And we would play in that field as a kid. And I remember my younger brother claiming he saw a UFO in that field. And, of course, nobody believed him. But I remember him telling me multiple times we would go out in that field, just have the best time playing. And he would say, don't go in the middle. Don't go in the middle. And so I believed him. And mostly because there was a big pile of dirt, and I would rather play on that big pile of dirt and play pretend than go out in the middle of the field. So this night that I had the experience, I walked to my friend's house, and on the way back, it was already completely dark. And as I was just about to pass this school behind which laid this field, a city bus stopped right next to me. And the door opened, and the bus driver was extremely insistent that I get on the bus right now. And I tried to tell him, I only live three houses away. I'm okay. I thought he wanted to give me a ride. And he says, no, get on the bus. Get on the bus right now. And I absolutely refused to do so. So he said, little girl, turn around and look up. It's been following you. And I was so confused at what he was talking about. And I remember looking at the passengers on the bus, and they had all come to that side of the bus, and they were all looking up, and they all had this look of awe and fear on their faces. And so obviously when somebody's looking up, you want to look up too. So I did. I looked up, and over the roof of the school, against the dark black sky, I saw a black shadow, and it was rounded, and it would like very slowly come up over the edge of the school. And then it would go back, and then it would come back forward a little bit more, and then it would go back. And then finally it came out about halfway, and I saw a rounded structure of some sort. And along the bottom of it, there was like a gondola, I guess you would call it. And at the bottom of the gondola, there were colored lights. And what fascinated me about this whole thing, I remember standing there just taking in the detail. What fascinated me was that the lights weren't giving off a glow, that they moved rapidly and changed colors, but you would see that reflected on the ground and on the building, and there was nothing like that. And I don't know why I noticed that at such a young age, but I did, and I was fascinated. And then as my eyes adjusted, I could see that there was some sort of a portal or a window of some sort, and inside I could see silhouettes that looked to be like backlit somehow, and there were two beings inside, and I'm still listening to all the people on the bus yelling at me to get on the bus. And for some reason, I just suddenly had this feeling of doom fall over me, and I was terrified, and I turned around and I ran home screaming. And of course, no one in the house believed me. I tried for days to get my mom to believe me, but she just wouldn't.
Well, it'd be great to speak to that bus driver.
Yes. Over the years, I've wondered if that thing was really following me. Did it come from the field? What was it going to do if it was following me? And if it wasn't, how was it noticed by a bus full of people? They must have seen it coming up the road, that it was maybe slinking along the top of the school as I walked or something. I really don't know. I've often wished I could go back and talk to these people. I'm sure they're long gone by now, but I just have so many questions. And after that, it was such a traumatic experience for me that even to this day, the thought of a UFO is just terrifying to me.
Of course. I mean, you just don't know about the intention. I mean, you're 10, 11 years old. You don't know how long it may have been following you for.
Exactly. And what was it going to do to me? Just watch me? And so I lived three houses away from the school, a very short walk, even for a little kid. And I grew up basically wondering if it knew where I lived. So I was constantly under a state of fear about that, but I just refused to talk about it after that, as I'm sure a lot of people do.
Well, especially, yeah, no one believes you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it all a lot harder.
Yes.
Obviously, it was a long time ago. Do you remember the size of the object?
Yes, it was not that big. It was in our neighborhood. It was comprised of bungalows, small 1960s, 50s bungalows, and it was really no bigger than the diameter of one of those homes. So it wasn't all that big. It could have easily hid in the field behind the school, where it was tall grass and bushes and not a whole lot of trees. So there was definitely open space or something that size to hide. I did have a childhood friend on my street, and her backyard would face that field. And I remember her mother telling me one summer, I think it was that summer, that she would see strange lights at night and little men working in the field, and she wondered what they were doing. And at the time, I really, you know, you're a little kid, you just don't know what to make of it. But I do recall that happening. And it was also about the time we started to see the Goodyear blimp in the summer. Now, we lived about an hour's drive north of Akron, Ohio. So seeing the blimp in the summer is not a big deal. It's just something we'd see. It would fly up towards the lake for sports events or whatever. And so I've often thought maybe that's what I saw. But the fact is, what I saw was small and it was round. It was not shaped like the blimp. It was not anywhere near the size of the blimp. But the only thing in common with the blimp is that it had like a gondola underneath. And that's all I remember.
And of course, the blimps, they wouldn't be anywhere near houses.
No, and certainly not that low. It was not that high from the ground, maybe 100 feet from the ground. But the blimp is it flies way higher than that.
We'll be right back after Glory by Heidi.
Seems like peace so mind is just dust to be blown, like our lives are bound to be left in tears made of red. Tell me that we can fight. This is a mess. This is madness. But this is dark.
We'll be right back.
together we will win.
That was Heidi with Glory. An excellent song, very powerful. Links to her music is in the show notes of this episode and on our website. More from Heidi at the end of this show. Obviously, the friend of your mother, she'd be aware of, you know, farmers in fields and when they're working late at night, so...
Yes. Actually, it was a field where no one would go at night. Everyone was home. There was no reason to be in the field. There was no work going on. So that's, I think, why she wondered what somebody would be doing in the field, that she would see people. And she I remember her clearly describing it as little men. So I'm not certain that she saw human beings in the field, but that's just my speculation.
And was it farming fields? Was it crops?
No, it was not. It was just a space of land between a bunch of streets that would outline it. And on one end was the school that faced a main road in the city. And the field was just left to grow wild. And that's why it was so much fun for kids to go and play in during the day. There were huge amounts of dirt left over from constructing the houses and digging the basements. And so we had a great time in that field. I remember eating blackberries and it just grew wild. It was a fun place to catch bugs and just be a kid. So there was really no development going on in the field itself at all at night. And all that backed up onto the field were backyards of homes, and they were all fenced in. So there was really no reason for anyone to be in that field at night at all.
And you obviously didn't really tell anyone.
I tried to tell my mom, and once she shot me down, multiple times, I never told anyone after that.
Of course, yeah, usually the case. I mean, you had witnesses as well. You know, you had the bus driver and you had people on the bus.
Yes. And that's what makes me still believe after all these years that what I saw was real.
Absolutely.
Very interesting. Yeah, and it feels good to know I'm not the only one that has strange experiences.
You are not. I can assure you that.
I will tell you that as a teenager, it was years after my experience, very close family friends saw a UFO, and they even had an artist sketch it out, what it looked like and everything. And these are very religious people, good down-to-earth people. I absolutely believe they saw what they saw. And at the time, I remember thinking, well, thank goodness I'm not the only crazy person around here. But I thought maybe it would give me some believability, but I just never brought it up again. I think I was still, the whole them telling their story kind of triggered me on the embarrassment I felt that I saw something, but even my mom wouldn't believe me that I saw it, you know. But so I do know I'm not the only one in this area who has seen things. According to this family couple, the police were not police, but State Patrol was called, and even they have records of that evening.
Do you remember when it was roughly? Was it several years ago?
It was about 1970. Yeah.
I do also like getting the stories from years ago, from the 60s, the 70s, you know, early 80s. Because I think they're as important as the ones right now.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and again, a lot of people have experienced stuff and they haven't even spoke about it. You know, they've been holding on to it.
Just like me.
Just like you. And it wrecks your brain. Of course it does, you know.
Yes, yeah.
Especially when people don't believe you.
Exactly. And, you know, as young as I was, I'm an odd person. I've had occult things happen to me all my life. And I have very, even as my youngest memories are like at 3 years old, and they're so detailed. So apparently when something really sticks in my mind, it really sticks in my mind. So I can't shake these memories at all.
When you say an occult, what do you mean by that?
Well, my earliest memory is at 3 years old. I just recently learned that the devil assigns us watchers. The demons can't be with everyone all the time. And I'm a religious person. Obviously, if you believe in a God, you believe in the enemy also, that they exist. And when I was 3 years old, I remember being woken up from a nap and sitting up in bed, and it was like the middle of my room, like the air opened up, and there was another room behind it. And there was a young man sitting there watching me. And I remember saying, "Hey, who are you?" And he ignored me. And I said it a couple more times until I yelled it. And he acted like he was startled. And he swiped his hand, and that room went away. And it was just my normal room. And this happened a couple times. And then finally one day he looked at me and he says, "You're not supposed to see me, so go back to sleep." And I remember arguing with him, "You're not supposed to be in my room, so get out." And, you know, I'm 3 years old, and I admit I was ornery, but this whole conversation just sticks in my head. And I remember saying, "I'm going to call my mom." And I was yelling for her. And he said, "If you do, you will never see me again." And so just to be ornery, I yelled for my mom, who, of course, came in the room. And, of course, he disappeared. And I never did see him again after that. And a couple years ago, I read that we have watchers, or sometimes they're called seers or guardians or sentinels. And basically, they're just human agents that work with the devil. And what they do is they watch our every move. They know where we're at any given time. They know what we're thinking, who we're with, and they report anything back. And if it's something the devil can use to come against us, they do. And so for years, I had no idea who this person was in the middle of my room. I can describe him to you. It was like I'm still in that room. I remember it in such fine detail. And I've had other odd things. Like when I was a teenager, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was standing in the middle of my room, not my bed. And I was actually levitating off the floor a few inches. You know, just odd things like that. And I've always wondered if this wasn't somehow related to the UFO. Maybe I attract things like this. I don't know.
Possibly. I mean, me personally, I'm not really religious, but this definitely does go on. It does go on. There is a very dark side.
Yes.
Whether or not it's connected to the UFOs, I'm not entirely sure, but this thing definitely does go on. I will have some shows which will cover kind of that kind of thing. Trying to get people to come forward with of the darker side is quite hard.
Yes, and you know, people will definitely look at you like you're crazy.
You had another encounter in 2018?
I did. Where I live, I'm right up about a mile from the edge of Lake Erie. So, you know, in a few minutes, I can actually drive to the edge of the water itself. I'm very close to the lake. So the area is very flat. We don't have hills. We don't have mountains or anything. So when you look up at the sky, you can see for miles and miles. And on this particular day, it was a beautiful, clear day, and all I could see was some puffy white clouds way off in the west towards Cleveland. And I was watching the sky, and I noticed something in the middle of my vision, the field of view, and I assumed it to be a plane, which is no big deal. We have airports all over the place. And I just watched it, and as it got closer and closer, I noticed something was wrong. It looked like on the if you were in a car, it would be on the driver's side. On the driver's side of this plane was something dark, and it was like black, but you could see through it, and it moved, and it swirled around. And I liken it to a flock of birds. Around here, we have huge, huge flocks of sparrows, and they'll like pull apart and come back in again, and they all move together almost like a school of fish. And that's what this thing resembled. So I thought it was really odd. And it kept coming to me and coming to me. And then finally, over the street where I was standing, it banked sharply. And as it banked, I could see the bottom of the plane. I could see the one wing come up in the air. And as it did so, this black swirling mass that was right next to this plane suddenly shot up a wing and stretched itself out to look like this airplane, as if it was trying to maybe be a shadow and disguise itself. And I was floored. I remember being stunned. I'm looking around so I could see, "Did you see that?" But there was no one else there. And just then, as this plane is flying off with this black mass stuck to it, all of a sudden I realized that there was a black helicopter that had been following it, and it also banked. But helicopters are very noisy. You can hear them coming for miles. And when they're close, you could feel the percussion. But there was nothing. It was completely silent. And it just took off with this plane. And I've always wondered what I saw. It was the strangest thing. In Cleveland, there's the NASA, I think it's called NASA Glenn facility. And I always wondered if maybe it wasn't some sort of black ops thing that came out of that facility. But I've always wondered what it was.
That's interesting. I'm not really sure about that one.
Yeah. If any of your listeners know, I would love to find out.
The U.S. government are got their finger in a few pots when it comes to secret vehicles and secret projects.
Exactly. And especially with the helicopter being completely silent, that's not technology that I know of.
No, exactly. Yeah. That's amazing, Jean. Well, I mean, you said in your email that nobody believed you, but we do.
Thank you. I did try to tell my kids about this encounter in 2018, and of course they made fun of me. So I really decided I wasn't going to tell anyone else what had happened, but I thought you might find it interesting.
And on behalf of all our listeners, yeah, we find it absolutely fascinating. And, you know, you've now told thousands of people.
Okay.
But it's often the case where, you know, people that make fun of others that have encounters, it's generally the case that they haven't experienced anything themselves. So the people can be very quick to judge, unfortunately.
Yes. It's hard to believe for a lot of people, and I understand that.
Of course it is. So, you know, you've got to look at it that way. Until they have a sighting or an experience of their own, then they're very quick to come back. I really appreciate you coming on today.
I appreciate you listening to my stories.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Well, thank you.
Great to have you on today, Jean.
It was my pleasure.
That is all for tonight. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, share it with your friends and family. A very special thanks to Jean, Melissa, and Heidi for supplying tonight's music. I will be back next week with more witness encounters. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye. The sound
A broken ship, slowly sinking.